Underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, and Saratoga, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a master's degree in English with a concentration in literature studies and an MFA in creative writing. strose.edu/gradprograms.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Robert Gulrich's most recent novel, The Fall of Princes, is an intoxicating and brutal narrative set in 1980s New York City, a time when Wall Street ruled, drugs were in constant supply, and jockeying for power was the name of the game. Rooney tells the story of how he and a group of other young princes made it to the top in the financial world and then, one by one, took a fall. Robert Gulrich is the author of three other books, including the novels A Reliable Wife and Headed Out to Wonderful, and his memoir The End of the World as We Know It. It is a great pleasure to welcome Robert Gulrich to this week's book show. Robert, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
You write early on in the book that we're turning into the kind of people I don't want to be. Did you have that feeling a lot?
Yes. I mean, I think it was a decade fraught with regret, even as we were living through it. We behaved badly, often. Although we didn't think we were behaving badly at the time, there was a kind of undercurrent of guilt that ran through the excesses that we lived through. You say that you don't have a cocaine problem, but then you look back and you think, well, you know, you spent $700 a week on cocaine, and you think, well, that must be some sort of aberration not to think that you have a problem. But there, you have to at some point admit not so much guilt. It's not guilt that you feel, it's regret and remorse. And that allows you to find your way to some sort of redemption, I think, to find some sort of peace of mind about all of the things that you did that you might regret.
Certainly, guilt and regret are at the forefront. But there is a tinge of nostalgia here, too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. It was not that we didn't have fun. We did have tremendous fun. We had nothing but fun for, I would say, the first 5 years of the decade. And that's what is so alluring about the decade to people now, is that it was one long dance party, you know, and we were young and we made far too much money and we stayed up too late and we did too many drugs and we danced too hard and we partied too hard and we had too much sex, and we went on too many trips, and we did all, everything was excess, and as a friend of mine called it, wretched excess, and then suddenly the gate slammed closed. On July 3rd of 1983, there was the first mention of AIDS in the New York Times, and that was the first sign that the gates were about to slam closed and the lights were about to be turned off. And when the lights turned off, they turned off with such sudden ferocity that the darkness was truly blinding. And you found yourself, whereas 3 years before you found yourself going to endless weddings in exotic places, you found yourself going to endless funerals in the same synagogues and churches two or three times a week.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you tell this story through the eyes of Rooney. Tell us a little bit about Rooney and what you wanted that character to be.
Well, Rooney is a man who is overpaid, oversexed, overindulged, and he knows, even as he goes through all of this overindulgence, that he says in the beginning, he says, I was not a nice man. He admits from the beginning that he was not a good person. And we follow him as he flies too high like Icarus, and gets badly burnt and falls to the ground and has to recover, and he ends up being a bookseller at Barnes & Noble. And he says at one point, one of my favorite sentences in the book, he says, "I'm the ordinary guy in ordinary pants." We watch him as he finds a kind of peace and redemption in the role of an ordinary citizen, almost anonymous, whereas before he had defined himself by things, he now defines himself by a kind of human spirit and grace. And I think that's a wonderful arc. I think almost all of my books are about redemption and the seeking of redemption. And I think that in The Fall of Princes, Rooney himself finds a kind of redemption, although he finds it in the most ordinary way. It's not a beatitude, it's a kind of simplicity.
One of the things about the period, but also that you write about so beautifully in the novel, is that from the time that he has these realizations, he's still a very young man. And it's what happened to him and to his peers in such a really short period of time, in less than a decade.
Yeah.
And the life they lived in that time.
Yes, and as you say, they were all very young. And when they were being excessive, they were like children. They hardly knew what they were doing. And then when the party ended, they were still only in their 30s. They had to recover. And there's a wonderful scene where he meets an old friend of his named Trotmeyer for drinks. And Trotmeyer had had an affair with a, as it says in the book, a one-named diva early on in the excessive part of the 80s, and Trotmeyer stands there, and he now has a regular wife and children and a job in a bank somewhere, and he allows himself to think back for one moment to the time in the early 80s when he was having this affair with the diva, and he says, you know, that he knows that it was wrong and that it was too much to handle. But he says in the end, you know, he says, "I think I could have died happy there. I think I could have died on that dance floor." And I think that a lot of people were left with that feeling of that the brightest moment in their life had already happened by the time they were 34. And they had a lot in front of them and a lot of time left on their hands. And they didn't quite know what to do with it. And my hope is that many of them found their way to a kind of happiness that was composed of much simpler parts.
Robert Gulrich is the author of the new novel, The Fall of Princes, and joins us on this week's book show. Is that pretty much what happened to you, that in that rebuilding you actually came to writing?
Yes, I worked in advertising, which was kind of the bastard stepchild of Wall Street. We also were paid too much too young, and we indulged in all the fantasies and excesses of Wall Street. But the difference, didn't want to write about advertising because, one, I think it would have bored me to do so, but also because Wall Street was truly the zeitgeist of the age. And advertising was kind of like the runner-up. But we were all in the party. And when I was 54, I got fired. In an email at home on Friday night, I was sort of lay on my sofa for 6 weeks and thought, oh, my God, my life is over. And then I thought, well, I'm only 54. I think I have to think of something to do with the rest of my life. And so everybody had always said that I should be a writer, and I had never really thought seriously about it. But I had from time to time, in a dilettante-ish sort of way, started a novel or two. And so one day I just sat down at my computer and started seriously writing a novel. And the novel was A Reliable Wife, and it was going nowhere. until one day I wrote a sentence, and it was a perfectly ordinary sentence. The sentence was, "The deer came out of nowhere." And suddenly the novel took flight, and it just wrote itself like magic after that. And it went on to get rejected by 36 publishers. Mm. And while it was being rejected, I wrote a memoir called The End of the World as We Know It. And I said to my agent, as long as the novel will never get sold, why don't you try to sell the memoir? And she did in a week. And then I was a writer. So writers write. And suddenly Reliable Wife got published and sold a million copies, surprisingly enough. So then that became my fate. And it made me so happy to think that I had something in which I enjoyed the process as much or more than the product, because it's in the end all process. And something that I could do until the day I died and never tire of it. And so now I've written 4 books, and it makes me very glad to think that that moment of grace where I suddenly thought, well, I'll write a novel, came to me.
In writing the memoir, The End of the World as We Know It, Scenes from a Life, that story about your upbringing and your family, was there a freedom of sharing and being so honest with an audience?
Yes, of course. Of course. People always ask me, was it cathartic to write that book? My answer is always the same. I say, no, it wasn't cathartic to write it, because I wasn't writing anything I didn't know. I was just reporting the facts, actually. But what was cathartic was the first time I walked into a bookstore and I saw the book on a bookshelf. Because then this story, which I had locked away in my heart and never told anybody, had become an object, and the object was separate from me. And this story, which I had thought so traumatic and so secret, was over on a bookshelf in a bookstore, and I was over here, and I was fine. My heart was beating, and my lungs were moving in and out, and my hands and feet worked. And so there was a great sudden moment of freedom from the chains that had bound me, and I realized that I wasn't dead and that I was going to live and I could do anything I wanted.
And through that, because that book tells us about what is perceived from the outside to be an idyllic childhood, and it is anything but. And because of that, does that have a bearing on how you behaved in the 80s and how you were able to open yourself up to such excess?
Well, I think that kind of excess is a form of self-destruction. And I think that what you are doing when you live an excessive life like that is seeking a form of self-destruction. And because of the traumatic events of my childhood, I was an extremely self-destructive person, addictive and self-destructive. And it took the death of my mother and the death of my father and the selling of the house in which I had grown up to free me from the necessity of being so self-destructive and to free me to be more kind to myself and therefore more gentle and more compassionate as a writer, I think. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You said a moment ago that you're often asked about the writing of the memoirs being cathartic. And I understand the question, because I guess it's more about, as you say, you knew it already. But some people will write to explore. They will write to find out. They will write to get to the bottom of something. And that was not your case.
That's true. And I feel bad for those people who write to find out, because they're in often for a very harrowing and terrifying ride. I was not. And I wrote that book in 6 weeks, which also, I think, helped me because of the speed with which it was written. I just didn't look back. I just did it. There wasn't a lot of agonizing about it, and there wasn't a lot of second guessing. I just wrote down the things. It was as though I wanted to make a slideshow of my life, and as though if you, Joe, came into my apartment and said, "So what's it been like being you, Robert Gulrich, all these years?" And I just flipped on this slideshow and said, here you go. Mm. And I wanted to make it as simple as possible and as easy as it could be to understand something about who I was and how I got to be that way, so that you might know something about me, honestly, who I was.
By contrast, did this novel, The Fall of Princes, take a lot longer to write?
Yes, it took longer, and it is, I think, of all the books that I've written, I think it's the closest to my heart. It touches me very deeply in some way that I don't really yet understand. The acknowledgments are endless, and it says that I wrote the book for the sweethearts and darlings of my youth. And that's true. I gave a reading here in New York, and many of those people were there. And the part of the book I read wasn't particularly sad or, you know, heavy. But I was on the verge of tears almost the whole time I read it, and I ended the reading by saying that I think that most writers only really have one thing to say, and that they write books to try to say that thing, which is really very simple, but they can't think of what it is. So they construct these stories and narratives to try to build an image, at least, of what the thing that they want to say is. And that I had, after writing The Fall of Princes, I had finally concluded that I knew what the thing I was born to say was, and that thing was simply to say, "I love you." And I think that that's what I learned from writing The Fall of Princes.
Robert Gulrich is the author of the new novel, The Fall of Princes, which is published by Algonquin. Is that something that you don't feel you said enough in your life, and certainly in the time that you write about in this novel?
Absolutely, in the time that I wrote the novel, and absolutely in my life. Absolutely. I don't know how else to answer it or to elaborate it. I feel ashamed to say that I have not told the people. Well, I'll tell you something from the book. There's a character in the book named Holly. She calls Rooney to have lunch with her, and she tells him that she has wonderful news. And he says, "What is it?" And she says, "I've fallen in love." And he says, "Oh, that's great." And he says, "With who?" And she says, "With you." And he is really taken aback, because she's a drag queen, and it's unimaginable. And she says, "Well, I know nothing is ever going to come of it, but I wanted to tell you because," and this is the important part, she says, "because I think the greatest sin is to love somebody and not tell them. Because then when they go into a room, or they walk down a street, or they go to a meeting with strangers, they don't know that they're loved. I think that I am guilty of that sin in my whole life, that I never told the people I loved how much I love them, and that I will regret that always, and that this book, in its own strange way, is my way of sending out cards to each of them to say that I had loved them with all my heart and that I think of them every single day of my life."
You spoke a moment ago of the book signing and being near tears. Did you feel loved?
Yes. I think so. Yes. Yes. And it made me, I don't know. I'm not used to feeling loved. And so I didn't quite know what to do with it. But yes, yes, of course.
And not saying that it has to result in the emotion of joy or happiness, but it certainly can.
Well, it does. It does. It does. It does. But on the other hand, you have to be open to it.
Right.
Your heart has to be open to it in order for it to come into your life and make a difference, to make a motion in the sea of your life. And I think I have been constructed in such a way, or my garden has lain fallow for so long that seeds find a difficult time finding purchase there somehow.
In writing, though, and in telling the stories that you have told, do you feel that you become more available, that land becomes a bit more tillable at some point?
Well, I do know this. I know that when I'm writing, in the process of writing, I feel something that I never feel in the course of my daily life, and that is that I feel completely safe, and I feel completely in control. Two things that I never, ever feel in my ordinary life. And I also feel completely loved in a way that I can accept. And so I think that's why I'm compelled to go on writing, because if a friend or a lover says, "I love you," it's very hard for me to take it in. But if a character in a book loves me, then I can bear it somehow. It's bearable to me.
The name of the new novel is The Fall of Princes by Robert Gulrich and published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. When you write something like this, do you have any idea what's next? Of how you follow
yes,
it
up? Yes, I'm working on a new novel now. I always try to have the next novel ready to go by the time I finish the one I have, because I'm afraid of the void, you know. I'm afraid of not having a step. It's just the way I write is I always stop writing at night before I've said everything I can think of to say, because I'm afraid that if I get up in the morning, I won't know where to start. So by the time I've finished, say, The Fall of Princes, I know what the next novel will be. And in this case, it's a novel about the summer of 1969, which was the summer I was 21, and something that seems to be largely forgotten by most people. I don't understand why, which is that the Manson murders and Woodstock happened within 3 weeks of each other that summer. And so my generation, my exact generation, reached their zenith and their nadir within 10 days of each other. And I've always found that completely, obsessively fascinating. And so I'm writing a novel about that summer and those two events. It's called Coming Back to Me.
Coming Back to Me. In the meantime, the new novel is out, The Fall of Princes. It is published by Algonquin Books. Robert Gulrich, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it a lot.
We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.